Welcome to Bellingham Technical College's Money Smarts podcast. I'm your host, Matt Benoit. Each episode, we'll talk with BTC students, staff, community professionals, and financial experts about financial wellness and literacy, all to help listeners navigate resources in the community and empower themselves financially. Today, we have the first half of an interview all about identity theft. This is a two-part episode because our guest is offering up a lot of helpful and important information about how you can protect your identity. Today, we're here with Carmen Martilla from Junior Achievement of Washington. She's the Northern Washington Regional Director of Junior Achievement of Washington. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. How are you?
Excellent. I'm doing well. So let's talk about the work that you do. What got you into the work of financial education, and why do you think this work is important?
Well, what got me into it was my banking background. Working in banking for the past about 15 years, I have found that the lack of financial education really hinders people's ability to succeed in life, and not just financially, but in meeting their goals in general. And that got me into that journey of adult financial education. So for the last several years, I have been in banking, but primarily focused on financial education of adults in our community and throughout different areas in Washington, Skagit, Islands, Snohomish, all throughout, and really helping individuals who didn't have the benefit of financial education as kids have it now as adults. That led me just a couple of months ago to transition into my new role with Junior Achievement of Washington. So I transitioned from banking and having that adult education background to now doing this for our youth, because that is, I think, where the lack of support has continued to happen throughout. I didn't get financial education at school. Most people don't. And Junior Achievement does an outstanding job of providing students K through 12 the ability to learn not only financial literacy, but entrepreneurship and work readiness. And that's something that I'm very passionate about.
Excellent. Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing, because we've talked on a previous episode of this podcast about how we learn about our finances, whether that comes from our parents or some sort of schooling. The fact that, you know, you're working hard to empower a group of young people with financial knowledge, so the older they get, the more they're going to learn, and the more they're already going to be sort of ahead of the curve in regards to financial knowledge. That's an awesome thing.
Well, and I think sometimes even at that age particularly, they forget that having a positive credit score will impact them at a huge level when they become adults and they start looking not only for employment, but a place to live when they move away from home to go to school, to go to college, to come to BTC. They're going to need a place to stay. And often they don't think about how that credit is going to be impacted and how, and that's what we're trying to do, is teach them young to understand finances so that they can be well prepared and be better qualified to have that second level or next level education.
Now, the topic of today's episode is identity theft prevention. And obviously, you have some experience with that, obviously coming from a banking background. And it's something that affects a lot of people of all ages, whether you're 18 or 80, it can happen to you. And oftentimes, I think we all probably know someone who has been a victim of identity theft at one time or another. So how do you know, first off, that you've been a victim of identity theft?
Well, there are a number of ways that you can identify that you have been in, that your identity has been compromised. And it's interesting that you say you could be 18 to 80, because you could be a newborn and have identity theft. Just recently, I heard of a case where the mother of a young child started getting notices for debt on the child's name. And what happened was the child's information had been compromised at the hospital. There, someone had taken that child's identity and stolen it and used it for nefarious purposes. So it can happen at any age, right, which is why it's so important to be prepared and aware. So one of the ways that commonly happens, and actually it's coming up here in just a few months, is tax identity theft. That happens when someone takes your social security number to get a tax refund or a job. And you typically don't find out that this has happened until you go and do your e-filing of your taxes. You're expecting a refund, perhaps, and then you get notification from the IRS that you've already collected that refund, when in fact you haven't, your identity has been stolen. Another one that happens quite often is medical identity theft, which is why it's so important that we protect our social security numbers, Medicare, health insurance identification, all of those numbers, all of that information can be easily compromised if we are not careful. So recently, at one of my adult financial education classes, someone shared that their adult son had committed identity theft on the father. Same name, different state, the son got in an accident, needed medical help, didn't have medical insurance, provided the father's information. They found the father in the system at the hospital, and then when they found out was when they started getting all those medical bills. So it happens quite often. Other ways that you might recognize that you have identity theft, collection notices. You can get calls from collection agencies that you asking for payment for things that you have no knowledge of. When you review your credit report, you might notice that there are credit cards or loans that you never signed up for or applied for. And when you're denied credit, employment, perhaps even trying to find a place to rent, and they deny you the ability to do any of those things because of a negative credit history that you perhaps weren't aware of.
When we talk about preventing identity theft, what would be your go-to tips for that?
Number one, check your credit report. We don't do it. Most people don't do it, and it's free. We all get a free identity theft report from all three agencies, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And you can easily get it by going to annualcreditreport.com. Not free annualcreditreport.com. That's the one that charges you. So okay. The one that actually doesn't, the government provided and approved one, is annualcreditreport.com. When you go there, you want to make sure that when you pull your credit report, which is different from pulling your credit score, you want to see the report because that's going to allow you to have a detailed review of your credit history. You want to look at your personal information. You want to look at your public records information. Make sure that it all looks correct. Make sure that you're not listed as a cosigner on loans that you are not aware of. Make sure that any accounts that are closed were closed by you, and closed by consumer is typically how they list it. And check the collection section. There is a collection section in your credit report that you can look at to make sure that there's no collection agencies listed as coming after a debt that you, again, might not be aware of.
You know, you talked about this can happen at any age. Basically, if you have a social security number or a social security card, it can happen. So, but who do you think are the main targets of identity theft when we look at the numbers? Who tends to get targeted more often?
We all do, but it tends to be typically elder. The elder population tends to be targeted quite often. And that's why it's important to identify signs, to have good communication with individuals in your family that live alone and are older and perhaps forget to be careful when they pick up those phones, when they get those telemarketing calls, and having the ability to remember that. And particularly nowadays, for instance, most of us don't use checks, but some older population or maybe some individuals just prefer to get checks. If you have checks, you shouldn't have them delivered to your unsecured mailbox. Have them delivered to the branch, to your bank, and pick them up from there, because that is better a better option to have a more secured ability to an ability not to have those checks stolen. But individuals that maybe are on the internet playing in those social media sites where you play games, are huge targets as well. Social media, individuals who are often in social media and share a lot of information and don't set the structure within their social media for privacy settings and let everything go public, are very easy targets, because then anyone can have the ability to see your history, to see your family members have access to a lot of information that they wouldn't have otherwise. So those would be, I would say, the ones that I would, that I, in my experience, people or individuals tend to be the most targeted.
So in general, you know, we obviously talked about protecting your social security number. What information does an identity thief need in order to make that crime happen?
You know, just about, it's so simple, unfortunately, nowadays. But if you have your wallet stolen and you carry everything you own in it, you know, sometimes, unfortunately, individuals will carry their social security card. We need to carry our driver's license. That's understandable. But there's no need to carry your social security card. They need that to be able to commit a crime. Your driver's license. Sometimes people carry every credit card that they own in their wallets. I recommend that they don't carry the credit card, one or two max, that you're going to typically need or use, and leave everything else in a secure place at home or a safe deposit box at a bank, a place that would be less likely to be compromised. But typically, it's as simple as that. They get your full name, your address, and your social security number, which often can be acquired quite easily, especially if we're not being cautious when we're sharing that information with marketing that we get online or phishing. You know, there are phishing scams where they'll send you emails telling you your account has been compromised. Click this link and we'll be able to make sure that we take care of it. No, typically those are scams that are trying to get your information. So being very aware of not answering those type of phishing emails, it's important, as well as not carrying everything with you, because it doesn't take a lot.
You know, I was thinking it would also be important to say, obviously, in the age of cell phones, where smartphones, so many people do financial transactions on their phones. That's another thing. You talk about having your wallet stolen. Same thing with your phone. If you don't have proper security measures on your phone, and you just, let's say, you just easy access to your account, so you're not logging in or out, and it's already open. If you don't
exactly.
Have
that, not only that, but a lot of people tend to go to Starbucks or different places to do their business. Mm-hmm. You should not do your banking. You know, don't access your banking information on an unsecure public Wi-Fi network, because that is going to expose you to that identity theft that is very prevalent nowadays.
And I think, too, it's important for the students out there to, when it comes to, let's say, applying for financial aid and the use of your Social Security number, to be very careful about that. The only site you should really be going to is FAFSA.gov, and that is a free application that you're doing. So if you go to any other site and they're asking you to pay to sign up, then that's probably that's a big red flag. Yeah, so just be careful how you use your Social Security number when it comes to applying for student aid, and make sure you go to that just the sites you're visiting are legitimate. And again, for FAFSA, there's only one, and it's FAFSA.gov. This ends part one of the Money Smarts podcast episode with Carmen Matilla, all about how to protect yourself against identity theft. If you'd like to learn more, please tune into part two of this episode, and be sure to check out all our episodes on the BTC website. They're loaded with stories, tips, tricks, and strategies for financial literacy. This podcast is produced by Cheryl Kennedy with music courtesy of bensound.com. I'm Matt Benoit. See you next time.